These Days.
Kids These Days.
This is Kids These Days.
It's the end of the school year, and that means no more teachers, no more books. But was there ever a time that you were a little sad that you were never going back to your favorite third grade teacher, or sorry to know that your basketball coach wasn't coming back to your school next year? Well, today on Kids These Days, we're celebrating our teachers. Kids spend a lot of their time with these influential and often inspirational adults. What does your child gain from a teacher they really connect with? That's our discussion today. Also this hour, teens talk about what makes a teacher great from their perspective. We explore how the status of teachers has changed over the years, and we shine the spotlight on an uplifting educator in a feature we call The Power of One. That and more, stay with us. It's Kids These Days. I'm Shanna Sheehy, and today is our Teacher Appreciation Show. We want to know your stories. Who inspired you? Who helped you in a way that you'll never forget in the classroom? How about a funny story from your first day at school as a teacher? We would love your thoughts. Comment on our Facebook page or go directly to our website. That's kidsthesedays.org. Today, I'm joined by some veteran Alaska educators. Lori Hagee is on the phone from Juneau, where she is the music teacher and librarian at Glacier Valley Elementary School. Lori has 15 years of classroom experience. Recently, she was one of 50 teachers selected nationally as a Yale School of Music Distinguished Music Educator and was one of 10 musicians selected internationally to serve as an ABRU Fellow at the New England Conservatory in Boston. She was honored to represent this state's teachers as the 2011 Alaska Teacher of the Year. Thanks for being with us today, Lori.
Thank you for having me, Shanna.
Also with us today is Patricia Truman. Patricia is a 30-year retired teacher whose career included teaching in the Yukon Flats, Fairbanks North Star, and Matanuska-Susitna school districts. She is the 2001 Alaska Teacher of the Year and the recipient of the Horace Mann Award for Teaching Excellence. Patricia is currently the executive director of the Professional Teaching Practices Commission for the state of Alaska, as well as the Alaska Teacher of the Year coordinator. Thanks to you, Patricia, for being with us.
Thank you, and I'm glad to be here.
And also today we have Carol Como. Carol is the outgoing superintendent of the Anchorage School District, a position she's held for 12 years. Her career with ASD started in 1974 as a noon duty attendant, from which she transitioned into various teaching and administrative positions. She serves on many committees and has received numerous awards for service and leadership. Carol is retiring this summer and moving to Bellingham. From there, she'll get to see her grandchildren and their parents a whole lot more. Thanks, Carol, for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I think a great time or a great thing to start today's discussion with is to talk about what great teaching is. You know, we're talking about teaching or appreciating our teachers and talking about those qualities that make teachers really stand out to kids or, you know, to anybody in the community who interacts with teachers. So, you know, what is that spark that makes someone a great teacher? It might be a tough question to answer, but I'm hoping that one of the three of you or all the three of you can help get to it.
Well, I'll start from my perspective as being a teacher at one time and certainly a principal and now in this job. I think it's somebody who genuinely likes kids and has a great sense of humor, who sees every child has potential, and somebody who can really figure out those potentials and help that child succeed and enjoy it. To me, that's a great teacher.
So someone who's really connecting with kids and truly enjoys
children. I think the relationships when they're working between an effective teacher and kids is magic. And I've seen so many examples over the years of when the teacher and the kids are connecting, they're enthusiastic learners, they're working hard, but they really are having a good time while they're learning. That's really terrific.
Lori Hagee, what about you? What would you say as the qualities that make a teacher a great one?
Well, I definitely agree with Carol on relationship and how important that is to find a way to form a bond with every child. And I also talk a lot about the idea of teaching as an art form, that you need to know all of the skills, you know, examining your practice both in content but in delivery, understanding child development. But then the artistry is how you put all those pieces together and are constantly adapting and shaping as you deal with each situation. And it's what makes teaching such an exciting career and also humbling, because as soon as you think you have it, the kids will let you know that you don't. And and that's what makes each day. You never know what to expect, and it's incredibly rewarding, and I love that piece because I feel like it is an art form, both with the balance of skill and how you deliver that each day.
And when you talk about adapting, Lori, are you talking about an each day adapting, you know, when you're doing what you're doing and the kids say, uh-oh, let's try something else? Or is it more, you know, from class to class or from year to year or from generation to generation, you know, or is it all of that?
It is. It's all of the above. It's it is. And I think, you know, for teachers, that you always have to have a plan and an objective of what you're planning to do that day, but you also have to have ready in your back pocket five other ideas that are ready to go that can still serve that purpose, but is adapting to whatever that might be that day. Children coming in tired or overexcited or something that happened out on the playground or whatever it might be, and how do you shift it so that their mind is ready for learning. Eric Jensen, who wrote Teaching with the Brain and Mind, said that, you know, teachers are mood changers, you know, that your job is to prepare and ready students to be open and receptive to learning. And until they're in that space, it sometimes can be a real challenge. And how do you do that?
That's
and a lot of it from my perspective is movement, emotion, that relevancy, connecting with a child so that they're interested and curious about what you're going to learn that day.
Well, Patricia Truman, you know, how do you feel about the qualities that make a teacher, not just a good teacher, but a great one?
Well, just to add to what Carol and Lori had to say, I think that one of the most important things that teachers have to have is a lot of energy, dispersed with tons of humility and the ability to convey to the children that they're to be trusted. And if, you know, even as adults, you know, if we trust our peers, we trust our colleagues, we're going to excel and we're going to grow. And teachers do that. They do that every day. They make, you know, thousands of decisions, you know, snap decisions in any given moment, depending on how the day is going. And teachers are leaders, but teachers are also very good listeners. And if they listen to their students, even if the listening is just merely body language, they'll know what their students need. And when they know what their students need, then they are trusted.
So why does good teaching matter? You know, I think that this is something that folks debate. You know, is it what is it that makes kids learn, and does whether or not a teacher is good and whether or not the teaching is good really impact whether or not the kids are learning? This is sort of a big question out there, and I'm sure lots of people are studying that. But how do you three feel about that? You know, how much does good teaching really matter when it comes to whether or not the kids are learning what they need to be learning in the classroom?
Well, I think it depends on how you define the word teaching. Are you talking about just instructing? You know, handing out assignments. But teaching goes way beyond that. You know, teaching takes in everything. And you hear a lot of talk about the whole child, and it's, you know, it's kind of an educational term. But what it really means is that it's not just the everyday of handing out knowledge in a little paper sack and saying, here, you know, like their lunch, here, you know, here, digest this and come back tomorrow and tell me again. It's the whole package. It's being able to understand your students, to understand your school, and to understand your community.
Mm-hmm. I think going along with that we have such a diverse student body now that really trying to understand where the kids are coming from and really building upon their strengths. So many of our kids are coming from different locations. We have kids from all over the world. We have kids coming to us. The military kids, they're going through a lot of issues that they're dealing with, and with the deployments and all of those kinds of things. That I think why a good teacher matters is to help a child go from where they are to grow and develop. And that's why we've invested so much time and energy teaching our kids social-emotional learning intentionally. We know that for an adult to be successful in the workplace or in their family or in society, they have to have good social-emotional skills. They have to learn how to resolve conflicts creatively or productively without violence. We need to help people have empathy for other people's circumstances. And it's kind of trite, but not really. If we walk in each other's shoes, we might understand people better. I know as I've, the best part of this job for me has been engaging with teachers who've dealt with different parts of our community, and then getting to know people in the community and how, what an impact an excellent teacher has had on those children. And when I see those kids get those diplomas and it's their first child in their family graduating, it's so powerful. And you just know it's because they've had great teachers that have helped them make that milestone. And that's why effective and good teachers make a difference. It's the future. They're educating the future.
That's Carol Como. And Lori Hagee and Juno, I'd love you to weigh in on this as well.
Well, Carol and Patricia, I agree totally with all of the idea of focusing on the whole child and understanding that you're looking at that child from a long-term, having a long-term vision of where they will be and how they can be contributing to their community now and later as adults. So even though we're focusing on those specific skills of literacy, math, science, all of those core subjects, you're always looking to see how can that be reflected in helping to develop that child's potential so that they continue to want to learn, and that ultimately we want our children to continue to be lifelong learners, and that teachers hopefully are modeling that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, Anchorage's Carol Como, Patricia Truman of the Mat Su, and Juno's Lori Hagee on the phone are speaking with me this hour. I'm Shanna Sheehy, and this is Kids These Days. Today, it's our Teacher Appreciation Show. Well, spend a day in a classroom, and it's hard not to appreciate the work that teachers do. Generally speaking, parents and communities tend to have favorable opinions of teaching, and yet somehow teachers are not held in as high regard as other professionals, like doctors and lawyers, and they're not paid as well either. So how does that affect who chooses to teach, and what will the teaching workforce look like in the future? Kids These Days contributor Jessica Cochran spoke with some people who study the teaching profession and learned about some surprising trends.
Richard Ingersoll is a professor of education and sociology at the University of Pennsylvania. He's spent years studying teaching as a profession. He analyzed the schools and staffing survey conducted by the National Center for Education Statistics from 1987 to 2007, and he can sum up his findings in just a few words.
A huge occupation of beginning women. That's what it's becoming.
Okay, some explanation. Census data shows teaching is the largest occupation in the country, and it's getting bigger. From the mid-80s to the mid-2000s, the number of teachers grew 2.5 times faster than the number of students, with the biggest increase in special education teachers. Part of the teaching workforce is aging and heading for retirement soon, and increasingly, the new, younger teachers coming in aren't sticking around too long.
Here we see from the greening thing that beginners are sort of the biggest chunk of this largest occupation, and the biggest chunk not only has high turnover, it's increasing over time. So you have sort of decreasing stability amongst the largest group of the largest occupation.
And overall, the teaching workforce is becoming more female. There are more male teachers than there used to be in terms of numbers, but more women are teaching high school than they used to, and more of the ballooning number of jobs have been filled by women. It's not too far off from the start of public education in the United States.
It was quite intentionally made from a male to a female occupation when the public school system was founded. Women were cheaper, and they didn't have other options. And, you know, you sort of had to upscale a lot of hiring when the public school system was formed. I mean, it was universal schooling. And the rule was when you got married, you were fired.
So it was a deliberately temporary position back then. Overall, Ingersoll is pessimistic about the future of teaching. With so many more teachers, he doesn't see how budgets can fit in higher salaries or better salary increases for experienced teachers. And he sees public opinion of teaching taking a turn for the worse.
You know, education reform runs in fads, and it seems like now there's a great, great deal of suspicion and criticism of teachers. And both political parties nationally are on this. And, you know, all this discussion of accountability, and if we could just fire the bad teachers, we could... I mean, there's a whole discussion, sort of like, the problem with schools is teachers, and you know, they're deficient in some way. It's their motivation, it's their training, it's their ability, their accountability, what have you. And so my sense is that currently there's kind of a dip towards the negativity.
Even the state of the national economy is sometimes blamed on teachers. Barb Angayak is president of the National Education Association Alaska, the union that represents 13,000 teachers and other education professionals in Alaska. She doesn't think opinions of teachers have changed that much.
If you talk with community members and parents and you get specific about their own neighborhood schools, they are very, very positive about what's going on there and the teachers and their impact on their kids' lives and those kinds of things. I think it's when you sort of zoom back up to the 30,000-foot level and take a broader snapshot that you get very negative kinds of attitudes coming from people who use a sort of negative rhetoric to get people fired up about topics and want them to be agitated and upset with the performance of our schools and those kinds of things.
And Gayak has been a teacher in the Bethel area since 1980. In that time, she's seen Alaska teacher salaries fall from the highest in the nation to somewhere around 14th. Alaska salaries average 10% higher than the national average, but they've increased at the lowest rate in the nation, and adjusted for inflation, they've actually gone down. Starting in 2006, new teachers' retirement plans changed from a pension or defined benefit plan to a defined contribution plan, where their retirement income is dependent on what they put in and how it does on the stock market. All that makes it hard to attract good teachers to remote villages, or to keep them there for long. Turnover rates in Alaska's urban areas are about the same as the national average, but they are twice as high in rural Alaska. And Gayak says when she started, she looked at teaching as a lifelong career. Now, new teachers don't necessarily plan to stay in it for long, and that's a problem.
It takes a number of years to really develop your skills and to become masterful and have expertise in whatever field of teaching that you're in.
Barb Angayak is optimistic about efforts at the University of Alaska to draw more students into teaching. A report by the Institute of Social and Economic Research shows that teachers and principals who are from Alaska and trained in Alaska are less likely to leave their jobs. After 4 years in Anchorage as the NEA Alaska president, Angayak herself is headed back to her district in Bethel. I'm Jessica Cochran.
And I'm Shanna Sheehy, and this is Kids These Days. We're talking about teachers and appreciating teachers this hour. I'm speaking with Lori Hagee, Patricia Truman, and Carol Como, all educators who have earned the appreciation of many. And Carol, I'd like actually to invite you first to comment on the piece that Jessica just provided for us about the status of teaching and how it's evolved and changed over time.
Well, I think it was brought back a lot of memories, actually, because my first year of teaching was 1963, right out of college. And I can remember my husband and I had been married over a year in college, and so I got pregnant, and I had to quit after 3 months because they would not allow female teachers to be pregnant after 3 months and teach. And fortunately, it was the end of the school year, so I was able to complete the school year. But
So you weren't supposed to be showing.
Correct. You weren't supposed to show, and I was an elementary third grade teacher, and we weren't supposed to show kids. And I told that story to so many people over the last few years, and they're just appalled, but
it was hard to believe.
And then I stayed home for 11 years with the kids, and when I went back in 1975 as a teacher, that had changed certainly, but I think what I noticed in just those 11 years that I was home, the expectations of what schools are supposed to be doing had really started to change in 1975. And when I think now what society and everybody expects the schools to do compared to what they did when I started teaching in 1963 is unbelievable. Society has changed so much, and so many things keep being added to the teachers' responsibilities, if you will. We have mandates from the federal government, the judicial system. We have state mandates and local mandates. We have many families that are having great struggles that are really expecting the schools to be the parents. And the day hasn't changed. The school day is exactly as long as it used to be. But there's more and more things being asked to be done. Elementary teachers particularly, and that's my background, but I would say it for any level, they really are expected to be counselors. They're supposed to differentiate all their instruction for every single different learning style, and that's okay if your class size isn't so huge that you really get to know your kids and you really can figure out what works best for the students. I do think the turnover that was discussed in the previous segment is huge, and it's much more difficult in rural Alaska, I know, and than it is in Anchorage. But even we have the turnover, and I think part of the turnover comes from a number of reasons. One is the major expectations for teachers. The other, I do believe the retirement system change has had a direct impact, along with the wage stagnation, if you will, and the increased cost of living in not only rural Alaska, but Anchorage. I mean, it is really hard to find affordable housing anywhere in the state when you add in the utility costs and the transportation costs and the energy costs. So all of that coupled together, I really think it's making it more challenging. But I still believe we've got a range of young people who have just that passion to make a difference in young people's lives. And we've got to count on that passion, because that's certainly what's kept me going in this district for 38 years. I really know that good teachers, good principals make a huge difference for young people. And I think we've got to continue to nurture that.
Mm-hmm. Lori Hagee, how about you? Would you like to add anything to that?
Yeah, you know, I think there's definitely more on our plate, and yet with budget cuts, I think we are expected to do more with less. And with that comes a sense of it's very difficult to feel successful when you're dealt that plate. And more, you know, the piece talked about in the upper echelon that there's a lot of discussion about educational policy, and very often the practitioners, the teachers, are not part of that conversation. It was last year's Teacher of the Year from Oregon stood up and said, you know, the experts in the fields of law and medicine, those are the practitioners. The lawyers, the doctors, they're the experts. And why is it that in education we don't see our practitioners as the experts? Hmm. And so you have teachers who have a voice, skill, knowledge, and aren't feeling heard, and often not feeling respected or have a sense of control in developing the classroom and the vision of where education is going.
That's so interesting.
It is. I think teachers then leave when they're faced with those kinds of obstacles.
And so it's not, I guess I've always made the assumption that people who get into education policy or into administrative positions often come from a background of teaching, but that's not necessarily always the case, or maybe it doesn't necessarily make a big difference, it sounds like. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think sometimes when you can be far removed, I think, you know, there's always new practices and new ways of looking at things, and just making sure that teachers who are currently practicing in the room are always part of that dialogue and not being so disconnected from, you know, who are we focusing on here? Mm-hmm. It's the children, mm-hmm. and the people closest to them need to be a part of that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And Patricia Truman, how about you? What are your comments?
Well, I just kind of like to kind of add an up note to the conversation because, like Carol, when I first started teaching, I mean, there were pretty much three options for women who went to college. You could be a secretary, a nurse, or a teacher. Okay. And once I got my teaching degree, it was, well, go forth and teach. And as a rookie teacher, I had 32 sixth graders. And I've always felt like I needed to write a letter of apology to all those kids because I was really terrible. And, you know, there wasn't, I think that one thing maybe the general public doesn't realize is that the educational community has really worked hard and has strived to provide, you know, as my career has gotten moved forward, there's been a lot more opportunities to learn, to be a better teacher, and to be supported as a teacher. And I think that many times teachers become disenfranchised with the career because they don't feel supported. Just to talk a little bit about the turnover in rural Alaska, which is something that my office deals with a lot, is most of the time folks leave because they don't feel supported. They don't feel valued. And I just want to applaud the educational community to recognizing that and to putting some professional development in place where teachers can learn to be better and can learn to improve their practice.
Mm-hmm. And maybe urban teachers have more access to that than rural teachers, at least in our state.
Yeah, I think that's true. But mm-hmm. with the internet, even though it's not face-to-face, there's still a lot of opportunities to learn.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is Kids These Days, and we have prepared something for you all to listen to this hour. Kindergarten through high school, that's 13 years, and chances are that in that time, one teacher or another will stand out above the rest. Perhaps she took extra time to listen to you when you needed a little extra kindness, or he explained concepts in a way that stuck with you ever since. Kids These Days producer Sarah Gonzalez asked a group of high schoolers and college students to talk about teachers who have been especially inspiring.
Sarah, is there a teacher that you remember really fondly who inspired you in your life at some point?
Yes. Her name is Debbie Haynes. She's a teacher at Wasilla High School. She's just a good person, a really good teacher, really cares about her students and wants them to succeed in school and life. Taking time, I guess, to talk to someone one-on-one when they were having an issue, just showing that she cared. And it wasn't an isolated event. It's just kind of an everyday thing.
Patricia, Mrs. Carrie Ann Bird from Colony High School, as well as Karen Miller from Colony High School. And both of them, Mrs. Bird, she was a high school teacher, and she would always, she was hilarious, and so she made class very entertaining. And second of all, I could tell that she legitimately cared about the students and not only schoolwork, but well-being. Their general well-being in high school. And I felt like she never judged some of the students that maybe the other kids didn't like more than others. And she also, at the end of one of our classes, wrote a poem about every student in the class. And Karen Miller was always really inspirational, and she was just, I felt like she had really non-biased teaching. Some of the students that she was closer with, I didn't feel like she would give them, let them get away with more than others. And she was just very informational and had really good teaching methods and was fun. Just, they were both wonderful.
Jory,
which teacher really stands out to you?
Tom Hendricks at the UAA School of Nursing. I just feel like he was just had really clear expectations of us, and I feel like he just is going to make us all really just better nurses and better caregivers, and I just really appreciated that about him.
I'm Ori. I would say Bill Brune. He's our music teacher. He showed me that, like, you can really appreciate a good variety of music. Like, he's kind of older, and he's made us listen to classical and stuff, but then, like, if you go through his iPod, he has stuff like My Chemical Romance and just wide range. He's really laid back. And it's just really nice to be around that.
My name is Sam. My gym teacher, his name is Damon. And I was bullied a lot. I was a really angry kid. And Damon was just kind of there for me and was like, calm down. He was telling me like how to keep my cool, how to not get so angry, and how to control myself. And it actually helped me out over the years. Like in eighth grade, it got a little worse, and then he was there to calm me down. He would pull me off on the sidelines actually and talk to me for the whole class. And he would just tell me about all these stories and stuff and would just help me keep my cool. And that's really how he inspired me.
You're listening to Kids These Days, where we're raising Alaska's future today. It's a teacher appreciation show this hour. This program is a product of the Content Producers Guild, an independent media makers support organization. We record our show in the studios of KSKA-FM in Anchorage, and we're distributed by the Alaska Public Radio Network. We thank our broadcast partners for their support. Thanks to you, listeners in Chivac, Kodiak, Dillingham, the Mat-Su, Juneau, Haines, Skagway, and Klukwan, and Anchorage. When we come back, we'll talk more with Patricia Truman, Carol Como, and Lori Hagee, plus more kids' voices, and the newest in our Power of One series. We appreciate a Prince William Sound teacher. Stay with us. And then you call me, and it's not so bad, it's not so bad. First dates, date night, dating again. That's what we're talking about next time on Kids These Days. We look at dating today and explore what that means for parents of dating age kids, as well as parents themselves who might be getting back into the game. Join the conversation on Kids These Days. We're back. This is Kids These Days. I'm Shanna Sheehy, and Patricia Truman, a former Alaska Teacher of the Year and current Teacher of the Year Program Coordinator for the state, Lori Hagee, the 2011 Alaska Teacher of the Year recipient and current Juno music teacher and librarian, and Carol Como, the outgoing superintendent of the Anchorage School District. They're all here with me today. We're showing Alaska's educators some love this hour and talking about appreciating our teachers. So just before the break, we heard some voices of young people, teens, and some college students talking about the things that they think make an outstanding educator, a teacher that they'll remember. And, you know, I heard a lot of fun things, but a lot of it went back to that idea of connection, which we talked about in the very first part of the hour. I wanted to see if any of you all wanted to say anything about those pieces. And then we actually have some more voices to share.
Well, that's when I wrote myself a note, because it absolutely reinforces what I said at the beginning. And I hear when I go to graduations, and I've just finished about 20 some odd graduations, I listen to a lot of speeches. And over, and this is true last year too, everything is about relationships. If the teachers that are voted on to make the speeches, the young people who make the speeches, they always highlight how they were made to feel in class, if they were helped. I thought the young man who talked about how his PE teacher helped him deal with bullying, which is a huge issue these days, and how he helped him get through that. It really comes down to when you have a teacher, they can be all kinds of people, if they can connect and make those relationships work, they're going to help that young person engage in the academics. But if they just feel isolated and disconnected, they're not going to be able to connect to the academics. And it just does reinforce to me that we're all on the right track, but people need to recognize how important those relationships and connections are to be an effective teacher.
Mm-hmm. Patricia?
Right. I was listening, and I was just jotting down a few words. But, you know, throughout all of the kids' information about their teachers, you could hear the undertone of trust and love and acceptance. and fairness and the fact that they were valued. I didn't hear one student say, gee, you know, I really like the way Miss So-and-so taught me how to distinguish a noun from a verb. You know, it's all about how they feel and how, if you're accepted in a situation, you're going to excel.
Mm-hmm. So it might be trust. I trust this person. This person appreciated me. And I also learned a noun and how it's different from a verb from her.
And that's why I did.
All right. How about you, Lori Hagee?
I agree. The relationships, feeling valued and respected is huge. I couldn't help but go back to my own favorite teachers and thought of Miss Fry and Miss Hogarth. Miss Fry was my fourth grade teacher and Miss Hogarth my first. And, you know, I was a very slow reader and struggled with reading and still am a slow reader. But I remember I was singing something out of a Basil. I had just turned it into a melody and was singing it. And Miss Hogarth found me and immediately said, well, let's turn this into a musical. We'll just take this, you know, the whole class can work on it together, and looked at an asset that I could use against, you know, something that I was struggling with, and immediately valued that. And it's one of the reasons why I'm such a big supporter of music and the arts, because it reaches kids in so many different ways and helps build connections and different pathways to connect to their learning, where they can see themselves in more than just narrowing to how well are you as a reader, but more of, you know, what do you bring to your class and to the world.
And Lori, I'm glad you bring that up, because you are a music teacher, and you know, do you ever feel that in your practice of teaching, you know, do you ever relive some of those lessons maybe that you remember from your favorite teacher, Miss Fry, when she gave you that opportunity and focused on something that you could do and made it a class project?
I do all the time, and I try to make those opportunities more explicit for kids, because I think sometimes we assume that children are coming in with that knowledge of those habits of, you know, hard work or looking at what they can do and turn it into an opportunity. So, and it makes me think about just the littlest things. Like, I remember Miss Fry, I was extremely shy, and she came over to me and said, Lori, if I'm late coming back from lunch, you are going to turn the lights off and on and tell the class to sit down. And I remember just being just terrified of that moment when it was going to happen. But she knew exactly the child that she should ask to do that. And I didn't want to let her down, because I just loved her so much. And so she just, little things that can help move children in growing in ways that they, you know, that they're all different areas that they need to develop. And sure enough, when that day happened, I did it, and it just, you remember that. I remember that moment. So
it's so interesting too, because all three of you are teachers or have been teachers, and you know, you're talking about your experiences as a child, Lori, and how there was this little thing that she knew that she gave you an opportunity to do, but it's something that's lasted with you your whole life. And I wonder, as a teacher in the classroom, do you ever know when one of those moments is being created? Or are they more subtle than that as teachers? Like, do you know that you gave that child a particular task and that it was going to be the one that they were going to remember when they're 40 and reflecting?
Sometimes I think, when I see their eyes light up, or just sort of you see this aha moment in their facial expression, and you can only hope that it does. I don't know what started the conversation yesterday with the class, but I said, you know, don't ever think that a teacher doesn't want to hear how they've made a difference, even if it's 20 years later or next year when you move on to middle school and you want to come back and say something, because you never know. And when I became Teacher of the Year, I asked some students who are now graduating from college and ask them, what is it that you remember when you were in my class? I was a classroom teacher before, a music teacher, that stuck with you, and what did you like? And, you know, because to have that 10-year span of what still stuck, I think are those gems of what makes great teaching.
Mm-hmm. Patricia, how about you? Did you have something to add to that, to the question of whether or not you know you're building one of those memorable moments at the time it's happening?
This is a story. When I was teaching at Wasilla Junior High, it was a junior high at that time, and I taught honors English and gifted, talented kids. And gifted and talented kids are a challenging group because they are so smart and 10 steps ahead of me all the way. And there was one particular young man in my class that I'm thinking, oh my gosh, are we going to survive the year together? Because it was just, you know, questioning, and, you know, constantly challenging not only my knowledge, but my authority. And so just establishing a relationship with that young man. And the last day of school, he said to me, he said, you know, Mrs. Truman, he said, I am going to come back because I want a student teach in your classroom when I graduate from college, when I'm, you know, to get my teaching degree. And I'm thinking, really? Okay, you know, and sure enough, he did.
Oh, my.
And it was that was just a very rewarding experience. And he's a wonderful teacher. He's teaching at Wasilla High School, and he was just one of the BP Teachers of the Year. So it was
fantastic.
It's just amazing to see how he grew and how what a great teacher he is. And, you know, I would like to think that I had a lot of influence in his thinking and in the way he teaches.
Well, I'd like to remind listeners, this is Kids These Days. It's a weekly conversation about youth and family issues that are important to all Alaskans. Today, we're appreciating our teachers. Patricia Truman, Carol Como, and Lori Hagee are speaking with me this hour. I'm Shanna Sheehy, and I think it's a great time to play this. Every now and again on this program, we like to tell the stories of people who are making a difference in the lives of other Alaskans. We call this series The Power of One. Well, today we have a new Power of One story that introduces you to an amazing woman and highlights the way a good teacher can help even a struggling student blossom into something beautiful. While farmers markets are something of a summertime phenomenon across most of Alaska, Whittier residents have them year-round these days. For the last 2 years, students at the Whittier Community School have been honing their gardening skills. But theirs isn't a series of neat little planter boxes sitting on the sunniest spot on the playground. Instead, theirs is inside a large, high-ceilinged room with a concrete floor that was once home to the wood shop. Now, it's a thriving hydroponic garden. 12-year-old Joey Lipscomb is giving me a tour. It's a sunny day in Whittier, and bright daylight shines in from a panel of windows near the ceiling. The sunlight mixes with grow lights that hang over plant-filled buckets on the floor. There are rows of buckets, each with its own metal ring poised over a bed of clay pebbles. That's where the plants are growing. No soil here. That's what hydroponic gardening is.
Air pumps push air down there, and it creates an air bubble, and it forces the water up, and forces them up into here, and it pumps it through these rings that drip down on the plant, and there's where all the nutrients are.
Oh, wow. So there's like a bucket within a bucket, and it's sitting, the top bucket is kind of sitting on top of this nutrient-rich water that gets pumped in there.
Yes. And then we put coconut husk in each and every little thing. And also, if the roots get long enough, they can go through one bucket down into the nutrients. So, like that.
Oh, wow, there's like a whole mat of roots right there.
Yep.
And that squash is doing excellently.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
You see a big, huge flower that just opened up.
Since the Whittier Community School got going, Joey has been the primary caretaker.
So now, your teacher said that you're sort of in charge of this garden. Is that true?
Yes, I guess so. But our class usually comes down every day and then basically waters and gives them nutrients. And right now we have yellow squash, sugar, snap peas, green beans, tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, mystery.
He is our school biologist.
That's Stephanie Burgoon. Stephanie teaches 5th through 12th grades in Whittier, and she's the site administrator for the school, which is part of the Chugach School District. She's Joey's teacher.
He takes care of our fish tanks. He takes care of our garden. He problem solves everything. So if something isn't working, he's in there problem solving it, trying to figure out how to make it better. He's always wanted to try new projects. His brother and he are both making their own hydroponic systems that we're able to put into the garden. They're trying aquaculture, so putting fish in instead of having to use nutrients, then you use the fish as a nutrient. So trying new ideas, and he's just so darn excited about it that I can't stop him ever. So I love the fact that it's been 2 years and his enthusiasm hasn't waned. It's still there, and he's still wanting to try new things.
Stephanie has been teaching at the Whittier Community School for 10 years and says the garden has been good for Joey.
School's always been hard for Joey, and he'll tell you that. It's always been hard, and the confidence that he has gained since working in the garden and the changes that I've seen in him, not just in math and science, but in reading and writing and just his confidence in his schoolwork and his confidence outside of school and talking to people and leading these tours and
letting me interview him.
It's just, you forget that he's only in 7th grade and that he's a completely different kid than he was 2 years ago, and I attribute so much of that to his enthusiasm and all the things that he's done in the garden and giving them confidence that he needs to be a successful individual in life.
Wow, that's so huge. No,
I'm just so proud of him. I've known that kid since he was in preschool.
Yeah.
And we have these great memories of him from preschool. He was kind of a naughty little boy sometimes. And he'd be in timeout in my room in preschool. And now he's a 7th grade boy who's just the superstar student that... is just this confident, happy kid.
Now, here's an interesting twist to the story. If it wasn't for the illicit activities of a local would-be drug dealer, there wouldn't be a garden in Whittier at all.
We were very fortunate to be able to get the garden. We basically had a little drug bust in our community of 150 people. Somebody had turned a 10th floor apartment into a grow house for marijuana. And when he got in trouble with the cops, I asked the state and the court system if I could have the equipment because I thought it would be a great opportunity for kids to learn how to use something that was a negative in our community and turned into a positive thing. And they learn science, they learn career development, they learn personal social service. They learn so many things and just get this really great sense of joy out of growing something that they can eat and sell. So it's pretty fun.
Whittier students sell their vegetables at the regular year-round farmers market at the BTI, that's Begich Towers Incorporated. The BTI is a 15-story apartment building that has a Cold War-era look and feel. It's where the majority of Whittier's residents live. The former military installation is the center of the city, and it houses its post office, a notary of the public, a mini-mart, plus other services. The BTI even has an underground tunnel that connects it to the school, which is just behind and across the street.
We get some pretty harsh weather here. We get 100-mile-an-hour winds, and this year we had 520 inches of snow. And so that's why this whole garden concept is kind of unique, because the idea that we can grow lettuce and green beans year-round, and the fact that there's 500 inches of snow and no sunlight for 4 months is pretty remarkable.
Stephanie, her husband, and some students also sell the vegetables they grow at the Anchorage Market in the summertime. Stephanie Burgoon, one example of the power of one. You can see pictures of the Whittier Community School garden right now at kidsthesedays.org. Also, there are others we've profiled in our Power of One series. Let us know about someone you know who has the power of one. And this is Kids These Days, and Carol Como, Patricia Truman, and Lori Hagee are speaking with me today about our teachers. And I'd you know, I got some nods here. I can see Carol and I can see Patricia. Lori's on the phone, so I can't see you. But I was seeing some nods, so I think that this is maybe a story that you all at least have been familiar with before today. But again, it is an example of how a teacher took some initiative and also really connected with a student, and then he did so well as a result of that.
I had occasion to hear him make a presentation earlier in the year, and it was fascinating. And you could just see how his whole life had changed because he was doing something productive. He was learning. He was excited about it. And there's a way to use it to make some money. And right. There's no question. It's a great example of the impact one teacher can have when they're willing to kind of figure out something new and creative, and the kids just take off. And that's a great story. But he's just a great kid. It just was fun to meet him when he was sharing with superintendents that whole project.
I think the interesting thing about just hearing the pride in the voice of the teacher, and that's how all teachers feel when they see their students succeeding. It's just that overwhelming feeling of pride, and it's very emotional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were talking about trust a lot this hour, Patricia, and there was that feeling and also like love emanating, you know, a true caring emanating from her about him and his successes, and from him, too. He was pretty adoring of his teacher as well. Lori, any comment from you?
Wow, I just thought it was incredible. It looked like she was using that as a lab for go and test these ideas, see what you can do. I mean, really fostering not only sort of a creative approach, but all these critical thinking skills, and then applying it immediately into the community. It was incredible to hear how she incorporated all of these pieces that get students so excited, and then hearing how confident he was to go out into the community and share it. Yeah, it was wonderful.
Well, let's hear some more people and what they have to say about teachers who have inspired them and why. Sarah Gonzalez, our Kids These Days producer, talked to more young people and asked them to remember the educators who mattered most to them and why.
Jocelyn.
Which teacher really stands out in your mind as being someone who was particularly inspiring?
Ms. Crabb. She didn't teach me as much about history, but why it's important. Like, I don't remember specific details, but I appreciate history more now because I know how I can use it and using it for judgment in my future.
How do you think you'll use it for judgment in your future?
Because you can use history to help you judge on the future, because you look to the past to not make the same mistakes. And although it seems like it's a big wide scale, like what happens over centuries, really you can look at the small things and compress it to like how societies work.
Billy. Mr. Butterfield.
Why was he inspiring?
He kind of made me like English more. He made it so I could like understand it and get to like the dynamics of English, I guess.
Okay. Do you think if you hadn't had English with him, you wouldn't maybe like English as much later? Or
no, because I don't know. He made it more so I could get like the fundamental, I guess, like describing and like more tone and like just understanding more like what type of literature is like more important, I guess.
Toby, Miss LA, and she's kind of the teacher that doesn't just teach a subject, but she also kind of goes more in depth on how life uses a subject and how you could use it in your future life. And she's really down to earth, and she kind of like teaches how she's not all papers and everything. She's just kind of more of activities and stuff. So.
She makes it relevant.
Yeah.
What do you think makes a good teacher?
Somebody that cares about their students. Like if somebody's just there just to teach a subject and they went to school for it, kind of stuck there, it doesn't really show that they care. So a teacher that cares is probably the best teacher.
Can kids tell if a teacher cares or doesn't care? Is it obvious?
Yeah, teachers. Yeah, they can. It's pretty obvious.
Sarah. Probably my fifth grade teacher, Mr. Zarnsdorf. He was really awesome because he was super understanding about everything. Like you could go to him and talk. And he made, like, learning fun because he wouldn't just teach. He'd like, oh, we can do this activity, do this, we can do this. And it just made it, like, a better experience overall.
What do you think makes a good teacher?
Respecting your students, because a lot of teachers don't care. They're like, no, do this. But if they get to know you better than just a student, it makes it a lot better. And the students actually want to listen to that teacher. So it's like the love or respect needs to be balanced and good on both sides. You can have like a good teacher-student relationship.
Okay, great. Thank you.
We want to know your stories about your favorite teacher. You can tell us by going to our website, that's kidsthesedays.org, or to our Facebook page. This is Kids These Days on your local public radio station. I'm Shanna Sheehy, and today we're having a teacher appreciation show. Carol Como, Lori Hagee, and Patricia Truman join me today to talk about that. The last question I would like to ask this hour, and in fact, Lori, you already answered this question, but I wanted to hear from Patricia and then Carol. Who do you remember most? Who is that favorite teacher that you remember, and what was that moment or the series of moments that made her or him that person for you?
Well, I think my favorite teacher, surprisingly enough, was a college professor. I struggled in math. You know, I don't have a mathematical brain. At least I didn't think I did. I never had the confidence. It was never instilled in me that I could actually do math, but I had to take geometry in college. And he was an amazing teacher, and at the end of the course, I actually understood geometry, and I realized that, hey, I wasn't so bad at math after all. So it's just someone who valued me and someone who said, yeah, you can do this. You know how to do this. Let me show you. Hmm. So,
and Carol Como, how about you?
It's very interesting because the person I remember is Mr. McCreary, and I had not done well in freshman algebra in high school. I just struggled because the teacher had taught at MIT, and then he came to the high school, and he was smart as a whip. The guy I was dating at the time just loved it because he was challenged and he got it, and I was just drowning. And so I just didn't do well in the class, so I had to go to summer school, and Mr. McCreary taught the class, and I was able to focus on algebra in the summer, and he believed in me. He helped me chunk it, if you will, chunk it down, and I have a learning style, obviously, that I have to draw pictures and things with math. And so, like Pat, that math anxiety had taken over in the class, but when I was able to start succeeding, and because I didn't feel stupid calling, asking him if he could help me, and he did, by the end of the summer, I actually understood algebra, and then I went on to take geometry the next year, and I did much better, and I actually took algebra too then the next year and did okay. So it was amazing because I was just drowning in that first time around, and it was just that more personal connection, and it showed me very clearly that all kids learn differently, and sometimes it takes longer, and sometimes you have to do things differently so that somebody can succeed, not just expecting everybody to do the same thing at the same time.
And in the same way.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that is all the time that we have this hour. I'd like to thank Patricia Truman, the 2001 Alaska Teacher of the Year, and Patricia currently works as the coordinator of that program for the state. She retired from the Mat-Su Borough and also taught in the Yukon Flats and Fairbanks North Star districts in her career. Thanks, Patricia, for being with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And Lori Hagee is a music teacher and librarian at Glacier Valley Elementary School in Juneau. She's the 2011 Alaska Teacher of the Year and the recipient of several national and international teaching acknowledgments. Thanks so much, Lori, for being with us today.
Thank you.
And Carol Como is superintendent of the Anchorage School District. She's retiring this summer after a nearly 40-year education career in Alaska. From all of us here at Kids These Days, Carol, we wish you well, and I know Alaska will miss you.
Thank you.
We invite your comments, so please do tell us who you remember most from your time as a student, who was your favorite teacher, and why. Connect to our Facebook page from our website, that's kidsthesedays.org, and while you're there, you can find additional information from this program, read a handful of weekly Alaskan written blogs, and dig into our vast archive. Kids These Days is produced by Sarah Gonzalez, who is also our web content editor and business manager. Jessica Cochran is our regular contributor. Lost Lander composed and performed our original music pieces. I'm Shanna Sheehy. It's been great to be with you today, and I'll see you next week.
Kids These Days is an independent production of the Content Producers Guild. The opinions shared on the program are those of the host, guests, and contributors, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of KTD producers, partners, or funders. Major funding for Kids These Days comes from the Association of Alaska School Boards and its Initiative for Community Engagement. The program is made in partnership with KSKA-FM in Anchorage and the Alaska Public Radio Network. Find out more about Kids These Days anytime at kidsthesedays.org.